эфире Арсенал подкаст Ивана Меркурьева.
Hello, dear listeners. We are making this podcast with our well-known friend, and everybody knows him, I believe. We make this podcast with English writer Mr. Kevin Vichar. Kevin, hello.
Hello, Ivan.
Kevin, you've been to the Cup Final where Arsenal took the trophy.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us something about the final, as you've been at the ground on Wembley?
Well, it was an unusual final for Arsenal fans, because I don't think I've ever had such an easy final, and the atmosphere in the ground was strange, because there was a feeling early on that Arsenal would win the match. They were just so dominant.
Early on, you mean 15, 20 minutes, yes?
Yes, I would say. Arsenal started creating chances, and Aston Villa simply did not respond. So it was one-sided in terms of the atmosphere as well as the game on the pitch. The Villa fans could see their team weren't giving anything, and they weren't able to lift them. It's often the way at Wembley. It's a strange stadium. It is actually very difficult to get an atmosphere going if there's nothing to feed off. And for that reason, I think I would say it was the strangest Arsenal final that I have ever attended. But at the same time, hugely enjoyable for me, because we were able to relax, enjoy the football. There was no real stress, and the final scoreline reflected what was going on the pitch. And I did feel some sympathy for the Villa fans, because ultimately they've waited a long time to be back at in a final. I think the last one was 15 years earlier. And their club, it does look like it's in a bad way at the moment, going on what happened at Wembley.
But why? Last games in Premier League, Villa was okay. Okay, not the very last, with Burnley and Southampton 1-6. But previously, when they saved their place in the league, and they looked okay. But what have happened with them?
I just think they were fortunate in that a few players ran into form at the right time over a short period of time. But ultimately, they only finished one position above the relegation zone in spite of their good run. And that really reflects how poor their squad is. I mean, in terms of the quality of their players, you know, if their star man is Fabian Delph, that's a bit desperate, really. They might talk him up, but he wasn't very good at Wembley. Benteke, again, highly rated by some people, but I'm not convinced. I think he's a bit hit and miss. So I think ultimately the quality of the players Villa have isn't as good as a few results they managed to put together would suggest. And if you look at it, they finished one place above the relegation zone, and the teams that went down were just a bit poorer, especially Queen's Park Rangers and also Hull City. I thought Burnley were unlucky, maybe. They could have stayed up. But in the end, I just think Villa are one of maybe six poor teams that finished near the bottom of the table. And they were fortunate to have a little run that just gave them enough to stay up. And in the end, the final reflected the league standings of the two teams. Villa was so much inferior that it wasn't the magic of the cup for once. It was a real reflection of the quality of the two teams. And I mean, with hindsight, you can see why Villa really struggled this season based on their cup final performance.
But okay, Does it mean that Liverpool today is less a team than Villa in terms of quality of the players? Because if you remember semi-final, so Villa were better, just better.
I think Liverpool have a better squad, but I just don't think the manager has got the best out of them, especially in the last 2 or 3 months. Liverpool are a team that is almost lacking an identity to me. It's you know, the last season, obviously they almost won the title, but effectively they lost two players, Suarez on a transfer and Sturridge to injury, and they've not been replaced. So I just think that a change is needed at Liverpool, but they are certainly a better team than Villa. It's just that Liverpool have been very inconsistent this season, and they've played well occasionally, but really they have suffered so much from losing two big players, and they need to replace them somehow. If Sturridge is fit next season, then that's half the problem. But it just shows you how vital Suarez was to them.
Definitely. I agree with you. Okay, do you want Benteke to Arsenal?
No, I don't think he's top quality. I just think there's not much between him and Walcott, really.
And Walcott?
I don't really want Walcott there either. Walcott has historically been a very inconsistent player. He has two decent games, but that's good. In fact, even in the final, he should have scored more goals. You know, he had other opportunities. So I don't want to suddenly change my mind about Theo Walcott based on two matches. He is still an inconsistent player who will occasionally score you good goals, but more often than not, he will not give you what you need to be a title challenging team. If he wants to stay and come on for 15 minutes at the end of a game, that's okay. But he is not a starting striker for a team that is going to win the title.
Do you believe Arsenal going to win the title? Okay, not Arsenal, Arsene Wenger.
I haven't changed my mind on that. I don't believe they can. I just don't think Wenger, as an in-game tactician or even a manager that can prepare a team to get a result, is good enough. I don't think he ever has been. I think when he was winning things in terms of titles, it's because of his experienced players on the field who knew what to do, even though he wasn't instructing them in the right way. So I really don't see a return to title-winning days with Wenger as a manager unless he suddenly buys leaders and experienced players who are strong characters, the like of which I don't think he wants at the club because he likes to control.
But okay, if we have a look at Alexis Sanchez, he is a leader, he is a fighter, and he is a top player.
He is certainly a fighter. I don't know if he's a leader. I think possibly an element of his hunger at times does rub off on his colleagues, but at times it doesn't. And the language as well. I mean, the guy doesn't speak English. You know, he can't start basically telling his colleagues what they should do and where they should be. If anything, Coquelin is more of that type of player, but you need more of that type to really get everyone pulling together, and also the intelligence of how to win a football match sometimes. You know, I don't even know if Coquelin has that. Sanchez, tactically, he does his own thing, and sometimes he does it on his own. He does it to the detriment of his team when he tries too hard and tries to do everything on his own. So, yes, he's a winner, he's a fighter, but he's not a John Terry. He's not a Tony Adams. He's not a Vieira. And those are the kind of characters which are going to push this team forward.
But they say that Sanchez, from one of the Chile regions, where is a very criminal situation, and he had to fight from the very first stages with knives, blah blah. So he was some kind of hooligan, and he used to fight for his place everywhere. And in the football team, finally, also. So why it's not a character?
Well, because ultimately, you sometimes need a figure that is intelligent enough to, as well as show spirit, also organize his teammates. So I think Sanchez is part of a title-winning team, it's just not at Arsenal. Or it could be once Wenger goes on and moves on. But for now, I just think there are key characters. If you look at previous title-winning teams, Chelsea, Manchester City, Manchester United, there were big characters in there who would organise the players around them. You know, the likes of Vincent Kompany, the likes of Vidic, for example, or in Chelsea, John Terry, possibly Matic. He certainly seems to be influential in terms of how Chelsea play, and allows the players, if you like, Chelsea's version of Alexis Sanchez is Hazard. And from a more solid base and a more knowing base, that team, when they're not playing well, will be able to get 3 points. When Arsenal are not playing well, they don't always get those points. And that's the difference between winning a title and finishing third. It's the consistency of achieving results in any way you can. And I don't think an Arsene Wenger team with the players in 2015 are geared up towards that. I think Wenger is still generally a bit too principled. He might end up with a performance like that which saw Manchester City beaten at the Etihad, but he won't see it when they're playing a team Wenger thinks they should beat easily. So, for example, against Swansea. So then Chelsea would get something out of that game. Arsenal wouldn't. And the reason being, there is a fallback position for Chelsea. It is make sure they don't lose the game and don't go completely mad chasing it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to the summer, finally. What do you think will happen in the summer in terms of transfer window?
I do have a feeling that there may now be an unofficial policy of making a marquee signing every summer. My fear is that it's probably going to be an attacking one. So I wouldn't be surprised if a big name striker came in. Ultimately, the money really needs to be spent more significantly elsewhere. But I've a feeling that Petr Cech will come to Arsenal.
At what kind of price?
I think Arsenal will probably be able to get him for 10 million. That's the price I think that Cech would go for. There are no obstacles to him joining Arsenal as long as Arsenal meet Chelsea's price. And I think 10 million is probably realistic.
If not, if 15?
Well, Arsenal should pay it. I mean, the difference between...
No, Arsenal should, but will Arsenal pay it?
Knowing Arsene Wenger, I would say no. Mm-hmm. So it really depends on how keen Chelsea are to extract the last pound out of a transfer. But I think unofficially, Cech is almost being given a free pass by the owner. And obviously, if Cech was interested in going elsewhere, then the club might hold an auction for him and see what they can get. But I think this is a transfer that's more down to the player than the club, simply as a way of rewarding him for his many years of service. So I'm optimistic. I think Čech will come.
But they say that Mourinho will not sell to Arsenal, no? What do you think?
Well, I think Mourinho will be overruled by Abramovich on this one.
But do you think that Mourinho don't want to sell to Arsenal?
I believe that's also true.
Why?
Because Mourinho, just simply on principle, would see Arsenal as a potential threat. Even though Wenger has his weaknesses, Mourinho would just, as a matter of basic caution, not wish to sell a player of that significance to a close rival.
But if we take Juan Mata, he sold it to Manchester United.
Yes, I think that was in a season where United were obviously struggling. And I think Mourinho sensed that United had a huge rebuilding job. They were not going to be an immediate threat. And that has proved the case this season as well. So I think the other thing to remember about Mata is that Chelsea got a very good price for him. And the transfers that Chelsea have made and the money they've got in has allowed them to buy very well. So once Mourinho accepted that Mata was not part of his plans, he would have weighed the disadvantage of improving Manchester United against what he could do with a lot of money. And with that amount of money, obviously he bought Fabregas, he bought Costa. So I think he's happy with the deals.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you believe Czech will be at Arsenal if the price will be around 10 million?
Yes.
Who else? Really speaking.
Well, it's very difficult. I mean, you know, Wenger is so cagey, and you read so many names. There's talk about the player Fekir from France, and that would be a Wenger type signing. But I mean, I wouldn't like to guess, Ivan. I mean, I think I think that maybe there will be a big forward signing, something like maybe a Cavani or a Benzema, that type of figure for the marquee player that they want. Not convinced they're going to go for Schneiderlin. But they do also need a central defender, but I just feel that Wenger is not going to buy a central defender. I think he's going to be of the view that his two backup centre-backs are Gabriel and Callum Chambers, which would be a huge mistake because he's really got to find a dominant centre-half to replace Mertesacker. Koscielny, you know, I mean, Koscielny's can be good, but he can make mistakes. So he really needs someone alongside him who's going to basically tell him what to do. I'm not convinced about the Mertesacker-Koscielny combination. But having said that, if they buy a very good player to play alongside Coquelin and concentrate on screening the defence and sacrificing a bit of their attacking play, then I think they would improve. I mean, I think they scored enough goals last season, but it was conceding goals that really undid Arsenal's title challenge. So I really would like to see the focus on what's happening at the back. So even if I would happily not sign a striker if we could get top quality defensive midfield, centre back, and goalkeeper. Those are the three positions I really would like to see addressed.
What do you think on Gabriel?
I think he's got the right attitude. I think there may still be an element of a communication problem. So the sooner he really commands his understanding of the English language, which I imagine is what they communicate with in defence, the better. He could become a big player. I haven't given up on him. sometimes these players can surprise you just because he wasn't too expensive. I mean, Vidic came, and I didn't know anything about Vidic came before he arrived at Manchester United. So sometimes you can get a player like that. And I'm willing to wait on Gabriel. I think we'll know more by December. But I'm encouraged so far. I like his attitude. I like the fact that he'll take bookings. He'll commit fouls in the right places, you know, outside the area. He's got just enough cynicism about him to be an effective centre back. So I'm interested to see how he develops, but I don't think he's the first choice yet.
In my view, I have no words still because I don't understand the player. Still too short period. Time to make decisions. I just need 10 games in a row or something like that. I'm worrying that he's fragile, no? Injuries. What do you think?
I think he's okay so far. I don't think he's been out injured very much. So I don't know his history, to be fair. So I mean, I'd like to think now that they've finished buying players who are injury prone. I mean, that's a good reason not to buy Sami Khedira, for example. You know, some players, you just have that feeling they're going to be out for half the time. We already have too many of those. So I'd like to see when we do buy that we buy players with a good injury history.
I agree with you. Kevin, tell me please, what do you think on Ozil?
I think Ozil has actually improved with the extra year. Obviously, he missed the early months of the season with the injury, but since he come back, I see it's a very gradual improvement in his game, in his influence, and I think he played wonderfully in the cup final. I just think the only frustration really with him is that he's not competitive when Arsenal don't have the ball. And sometimes you need your whole team to really work hard. So he will play the position if he's the guy behind the striker. And do a bit of screening, but he won't really get a tackle in. So he's a bit of a lightweight in that sense. But, you know, whereas someone like Dennis Bergkamp, who he's often compared to, was actually quite competitive and would get in a tackle, would make bad fouls. He would not be bullied. My worry about Ozil is that when the going gets really tough, he doesn't fancy the Premier League, so he needs to continue his adaptation and his progress. But he really needs someone, and this is where a leader might come in, someone to pump him up, if you like, make him want to win his battles, make him understand that the game in England is a battle sometimes. It's a war, and there are some matches where you basically have to fight hard to earn the points, and I don't think he's quite got that yet. So I haven't given up on Ozil, but at the same time, someone like Hazard again is obviously very competitive. Ozil's teammate Alexis Sanchez, very competitive. That is what you need to win enough matches. And I really think Ozil needs to bring out the angry side of his personality and start being more of an influence on matches when things aren't so easy.
But do you think he wants to do it?
I'm not sure he does. It's a problem with highly paid footballers who are very skillful. You know, they're making their money. They will play the game they want. It takes sometimes a good manager as well that can bring the best out of that kind of figure. I mean, you look at someone like Andrea Pirlo, who many years ago, to me, when he first arrived at AC Milan, was a flair player. And yet he became part of a very competitive midfield. And then he moved to Juventus, where he didn't look like a weak link. He didn't look like a flair player who wasn't going to get involved. What he tended to do was, through his intelligence, use his positional ability to cut things out rather than need to tackle. But however you do it, he did become part of teams that were renowned for winning their battles. And certainly that would apply to the current Juventus team. So it's possible if you get the right manager and develop the player in the right way, alongside the right people, you can convert them into more motivated players. And Ozil needs, probably doesn't need Arsene Wenger as a manager. He probably needs a different type of manager, probably different players alongside him. I mean, I can't imagine that Sanchez and Ozil have many conversations in terms of their approach to the game. I think it's just probably very superficial and social, because neither of the guys really speak English very well. They're not going to communicate in German and Spanish. Although Ozil actually could if he wanted to, I guess. Whether or not he's interested in communicating with Sanchez is another question. But you need these little interrelationships on the field to sometimes drag players along and get them all fighting in the same way. So not sure we've got that at Arsenal for Ozil. But winning sometimes can develop these things. So let's see what happens next season.
Okay. One of the previous hopes, I do think that 4 years ago, all of us thought that Jack Wilshere is the next Arsenal captain. But at the end of the season, I do think that he is not good enough and never will in Arsenal. I don't know, maybe at other club it can happen. And what do you think on Jack Wilshere?
I certainly agree that it hasn't turned out as we'd hoped. I mean, he's such a wonderful talent at 17 years old. And yet, it's all gone wrong. And ultimately, it's what is between Wilshere's ears, you know, his brain, that is the reason. He has the ability to be a world-class footballer. But he's not intelligent enough to know how to play a game. He will do stupid things like Paul Gascoigne used to, through his own determination to, well, win a game his way. So he'll try to do too much, but he hasn't got the skill to do it. If he would just learn to simplify his game, move the ball on quickly, he could be such a good player. The other thing is, through his lack of intelligence, he will get injured. He will always get injured, because he will go into challenges he doesn't need to and end up missing 3-4 months. In fact, he's missed more games than he's been available for, I think, in the last 4 seasons. So he's nowhere near as bad as Abu Diaby, but at the same time, he is spending far too much time in the treatment room, and he doesn't have to. I mean, that's another example. If you look at Pirlo, Andrea Pirlo, you know, Wilshere could be that type of player if he could just
difficult to imagine.
It is, because he hasn't got the brain. He hasn't got the football brain. I don't think he's got the basic intelligence. He was a young man with a great deal of talent. There was so much hype about him. He got too much too soon, and in the end. He almost couldn't handle it, and it's a career that I sense is already in decline, and it does echo that of Paul Gascoigne to me, in that he was so much better when he was young, but come his early 20s, he'd already peaked, and it was just problems after problems. So, I mean, you know, I wouldn't be sad to see Wilshere leave Arsenal, because I just don't think it's going to work out.
So, are you ready to sell him?
Yes. Oh, yes. I think now is the right time. I think they get a good price. The fact he has been injured most of the season means that he's come back. The few times he's appeared, you know, he's been part of a winning team. There's probably still a good reputation there. But if he's fit next season and continues not to be selected, in the end, his value decreases. And if he is to move on, then the price obviously won't be what it could be this summer. So the other thing to remember about Wilshere is that as long as Wenger is the manager, there's going to be conflicts, because Wilshere is a bit like Chesney. He's not a respecter of authority. He's a bit of a rebel. And Wenger will forgive players only so many times, and then he gives up on them. And I think that, in a sense, maybe the playing time Wilshere's had recently is almost maybe putting him in the shop window for this summer. You don't know what's going on inside Wenger's head. He'd never admit that he wants to sell any player. But I think if Arsenal got a decent offer, they would let him go.
Like 30 million, for example, from Man City, yes?
Yes, absolutely, yes.
Mm-hmm. What's going on with Wojciech? In my view, he is a decent keeper, but he suddenly stopped to develop.
Well, I've always questioned the goalkeeping coaching at the club anyway. You know, I think we've spoken before possibly about Gerry Payton.
Yes, of course.
And I still think that's the main problem there. I mean, the fortunate thing of if you do manage to buy someone like Petr Cech is that the goalkeeping coach is an irrelevance. But with a young keeper like Chesney, it's really matters. And I think that for Chesney, the real issue is, will he make more money elsewhere? Because I think he's on a very good deal. And I don't
like,
think... That...
Like 90,000, yes?
Yes, something. I believe so. And I'm not sure anyone else would pay anywhere near that. So I'm inclined to think he's made the statement that he's going to stay and compete for his place. But for the money he's getting, he would stay and quite happily sit on the bench for another year or two. And this is the problem nowadays with the wages paid. It is almost a disincentive, and it does become difficult to move certain players on. I mean, Nicholas Bentner was a classic example of that. Mm-hmm. So my feeling is that Wenger has had enough of Chesney. I think it was interesting to see him play him in the cup final. And a bit of me wonders if that was Wenger thinking, right, I'm going to get Petr Cech. You know, that's a definite. He's going to be my number one. So who's going to be my number two next year? Is it going to be Ospina? Is it going to be Chesney? And which one am I going to sell? So a bit of me thinks he might have played Chesney in the cup final to assess him, but also...
To show to the potential buyers.
Yes, yes. And the unfortunate thing for Wenger was that you could have played in goal at the final and looked just as good. So it didn't quite work out. But I was fascinated to see who would be selected. But it does show that maybe that there is still some hope for Chesney. But I really think that for Wenger, it's a matter of who's deciding who is back up to Petr Cech now. for next season.
So what do you think? Who?
I would go for Ospina and
Selfridge. Why?
I just think Ospina is a little bit less reckless in his decision making. I think he's basic safety play is better than Szczesny. So, for example, Ospina doesn't give the ball to the opposition quite so easily when he makes a clearance, whereas Szczesny more often will find a player 15 yards inside the Arsenal half and get the ball coming straight back at him. So I also think Ospina has a slightly more, I think the defence trusts him more than Szczesny. So sometimes they will just leave the ball to him, whereas with Szczesny, sometimes they'll try and get involved because they just don't think he can necessarily handle certain types of crosses and things. So I think for the good of the team, Ospina is a safer bet. So I would go with him as the second choice.
Mm-hmm. I do believe that Szczesny 4 years ago, or 3 years ago even, he was better than De Gea.
Well, that just shows you, I would argue, the value of a good goalkeeping coach. I don't know who is coaching at United, but there is no question that De Gea has adapted to the Premier League, and he is now, I mean, Real Madrid wants him. He is. Well, he was the best keeper in the Premier League last season, I think. Close, maybe, with Courtois. But it just shows that players can develop, especially young players, with the right coaching.
With the right guidance.
Yes.
And we understand that De Gea is younger than Szczesny.
Well, there we are. So yes. It just shows what is possible at that age.
Yes. Okay, Kevin, let's talk on manager. So today, after winning FA Cup, Wenger said that that he doesn't need to embark a major spending spree to challenge Chelsea for the title next season. What do you think on it?
Well, I think it's policy for Wenger to play his cards close to his chest in terms of the media. So whatever he's going to do, he will never say, I'm going to spend money. You know, the one thing he seems to enjoy, which is painful to the supporters, is negotiating prices. So if he goes into things like Louis van Gaal, then he knows he's going to be paying more money. So I think now that there's a realization at the club that they have to compete in the market seriously, and that they have the money to do it. So I'm sure the board will be pushing Wenger to do business. I'd argue he may even be under pressure to spend the money he has. But he's a poker player. You know, he's going to say not going to buy anybody, and then, you know, he never talks about players before they're officially announced. So I don't read anything into that at all. Obviously, historically, he has been cautious, and the worst thing about him is that he can't make a decision. So we've missed out on players because the manager has been indecisive. I'd like to think that with the money available now, that should be less of a problem. What I would really love is for Wenger to just basically give a list of players he wants and for someone else to go and do the negotiations, and that's a big problem at the club, that the Wenger is still involved in that. But I'm sure there will be signings. It really, whether or not those signings are the signings the club needs, I'm not convinced they will be.
But okay, If we take this notion that Arsenal doesn't need to embark a major spending spree to challenge Chelsea for the next season title, Chelsea or Man City, who knows, or maybe Man United, who knows. But do you agree with this notion?
No.
That Arsenal doesn't need to spend?
No, I don't agree with that at all. I think football now is at a stage where the top clubs will always seek to improve, and they've got the money to improve. You can't stand still. I mean, Arsenal have been guilty in the past of winning things and then standing still because they won something. And then the year after, they find that they weren't quite good enough. Now, if you look at teams that have been historically successful, I mean, my mind in England goes back to Liverpool, and also in more recent times, Manchester United. They've always looked to improve where they can, even after winning things. Now, Arsenal only won the FA Cup this season.
Which is not good enough,
it's not good enough,
in my view.
No, it isn't. You know, they are now at a level whereby they should be far closer to the team that that wins the title. I can't remember, but I think they were maybe 14 points behind Chelsea. I'm not sure.
12,
but they were
12.
12 points.
Doesn't matter.
It's too much. There's too big a gap. And there's no question that Arsenal need to improve in certain positions. So the idea that they could challenge next season without strengthening the squad is a joke. And I hope Wenger doesn't actually believe that.
So you think Wenger does not believe in the notion that Arsenal's cohesion is above summer spending?
I don't think he can. I don't think he could be that stupid. I really don't.
Mm-hmm. But can you explain to me why he is telling this? Why? What for?
I think, in a sense, if you think of the transfer market, again, he's talking up his own team, his own squad, to enhance their value, because obviously there will be sales. And at the same time, sending out a message that he doesn't need to buy. He's not desperate. So it comes back to the negotiations and not wanting to pay more than he feels he has to. So he's playing a game. It's a kidology. It's also PR. It's spin. It's like, you know, this is season ticket renewal time. You know, he's basically saying we have a brilliant team. Renew your season tickets.
But maybe if you say that you are going to buy, I don't know, Arturo Vidal and Karim Benzema, maybe the renewing will be better, no?
Yes, but it'd probably make more money by saving 2 or 3 million in the negotiations than and the other thing is, if those players are bought, should anyone not renew their season tickets, others will come in and buy them. So I think his priorities are probably correct in that sense. It's more important to play a poker hand in the negotiations and worry too much about fans paying to see the team, because historically that has not been a problem.
So do you finally think that Arsene Wenger wants to win English Premier League? Just wants to win without any terms?
No, I think he wants to win on his terms.
What are his terms today?
To win with style. To win and be loved.
I'm sorry?
To win and to have his team appreciated by neutrals.
Neutrals who?
Fans of other teams.
Okay, who calculate these neutrals?
It's an idea. It's the idea of a legacy. So, for example, in the past, Wenger has referred to the positive memories of successful teams like, specifically, Ajax of the early 70s,
mm-hmm.
AC Milan of the late 80s, early 90s, as winning with style and leaving a positive legacy. Now, he doesn't refer, for example, to Bayern Munich of the 70s in that elite, because they were a more functional team. They had less flair. So his big thing is basically the beautiful game, how the game should be played and how the game should be won. And that's part of the reason that in recent seasons his team have not been very cynical. I read something a while back which basically stated that Wenger was disgusted with the way his own team had won the 2005 FA Cup final, and he vowed that under him they would never win a trophy that way again, because it was, you know, it was a terrible display.
Was terrible display, but it was a trophy.
That's how a fan would look at it, and certainly I remember the 2005 Cup final very differently from Arsene Wenger.
And the last penalty scored by Vieira.
Symbolically, his last kick for the club, and then look what happened.
Yes.
So it's basically Wenger would not want to win a title playing the type of football that George Graham did. He wants to win a title the way his teams from the past have won it, which is with style and plaudits and a lot of neutrals applauding Arsenal off the pitch after the game when their own team has been beaten. And that's a very idealistic approach. Sometimes, very rarely, you have a team that's good enough to do that. But more often than not, you've got to win ugly sometimes. And Arsenal are only going to win the title if they have enough matches where they do win ugly, such as those that Chelsea played this season. I thought Chelsea had a great campaign. They got it just right.
I agree with you. Okay, so Kevin, the final question. Do you believe that Arsenal Football Club will be the genuine contender in next season?
I think they will. They will go closer next season. That's my feeling. I think Chelsea will have a very slight drop-off. I think Manchester City, it's very difficult to see what will happen with them.
Because they don't know who will lead them.
I don't, yes. And it's they have to gel the team. Manchester City have actually got some problems, I think. I could see Manchester United being up there next season. I think they will be much better after one season under Van Gaal. Van Gaal will get the players he feels he needs in the summer. But I just think Arsenal have... I think what's important is that Arsenal have won trophies 2 years in a row. Yes, you could say it's just the FA Cup. But there is a mentality with winning trophies which breeds a certain confidence and belief, which certainly Arsenal lacked for quite a few seasons after moving stadium. And now I think there's a bit more about them. I think next season they will be more competitive in more of the big matches. So I could actually see them beating Chelsea next season, for example. And being a bit more in the mix, at the very end of it, I just feel they will fall short, but I think it'll be a more interesting season in the league for Arsenal, because I do genuinely believe, in spite of the manager, that because of these big buys, the team is progressing. Alexis has made a difference. Ozil's improvement has made a difference. Strange things like Coquelin coming into the team has made a difference. Sometimes fate works in these ways. So I'm encouraged that we will be better next season and make more of a go at it. But I wouldn't, ultimately, I would probably still back Chelsea to win the title.
Okay. Okay, Kevin. So we live in some hope.
Well, I do, certainly.
Finally, after many years.
Yes, this is true.
We have some hope this summer.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us today.
You're more than welcome.
It was very nice and useful to listen to you, Kevin. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Bye now.
Ну и это был последний подкаст, уважаемые слушатели, сезона 14-15. Следующий Арсенал подкаст футбольный выйдет, наверное, ближе к концу июня. Но до этого, если вы будете следить за обновлениями на блоге, вы сможете послушать новый проект, который выйдет летом. Не буду сейчас раскрывать ничего про него. Анонс будет 5 числа, а первый выпуск его выйдет 9. Ну и как быть непобедимыми, по-прежнему знаем только мы.